Good to see everyone. We have a low number today with all the rain, a lot of sickness in the church today. We want to be praying for all those folks who are sick this morning. At this time, our one usher will come forward and receive our tithes and offerings. Our dear most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, God, for all that you do for us every day. We pray that you would just touch each and every one that's sick. God, you're so good. Appreciate your many, many blessings, Father. I pray that you would go with us, lead us, and guide us, and pray that you would bless us all, my Lord, and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to make the announcements while she's doing that. Saturday night, December the 3rd at 6 o'clock is Youth Fire Fun Night. Next Thursday, the 8th of December at 7 o'clock, Bonfire Meeting with Brother John and Sister Kim's. There's also a Men and Women's Monthly Meeting Saturday the 17th at 9 a.m. And then the Christmas Cantata with the reception to follow will be Saturday the 12-17 at 6 o'clock. And then we'll also have it on Sunday the 18th. And you're going to be in for a real treat, I think. And we'll have a nice reception. So we'll invite people. And we'll be having programs soon and advertisements and all kinds of stuff. So just be praying for us. Time we'll turn it back over to the choir.
us to praise and worship.
Taking back what the enemy stolen from me.
Stop. Lord. You love the Lord this morning? Feel His presence here. No place I would rather be. How about you? It is good to be in the house of the Lord. You can be seated if you'd like to be. You know, as Barry mentioned, we've had a little sickness going through. I'm on the comeback trail myself. So you pray for me and my throat holds up for this morning. We just want the Lord to have His way here, and we want to always hear from the Lord. And I am just so thankful for you guys making it here today. Why don't you take, we don't do this often, but we can do that this morning. Take a minute and go and shake somebody's hand. I'm going to say, if you even feel comfortable enough to hug somebody's neck, that'd be all right. Does that sound okay? Can we greet one another this morning in the love of the Lord? How many know we're the family of God? So greet your family this morning. Take a second to do that. Lord, we are just so thankful, Jesus. Yeah.
Oh, look at you, all dolled up. I'm doing good. I'm doing good. You got a new hairstyle and everything.
Praise the Lord. Wasn't that fun? You guys act like you're having fun right now. Oh, it's so good to just see one another, see your family this morning. You know what you did just now is you made everybody that was watching on the camera really jealous. You made them really jealous just now. You guys were having so much fun. That was just beautiful to behold, honestly. But we also, those that are joining us through that camera on our live stream, we're so thankful that you're a part of this morning as well. I had quite a few tell me that they would be joining us via live stream this morning, so I know there are some people watching, and they're part of our fellowship as well. Amen? You know, we've been seeing God just bless us. He's just been blessing us. Have you picked up on that, that God's just blessing us? You know, we've seen our congregation just starting to grow, and just so many people that maybe haven't been here for a minute. You know, COVID knocked everybody for a loop, didn't it? And it's just so good to see people in fellowship, and I just welcome everybody here. We couldn't do church without you. It's just not the same. So thank you guys for being here, and I love this fellowship. This is my family now. You guys aren't going to get rid of me for a while. You guys... I'm loving it. I'm falling in love with you guys, so it's good to be here. Thank you. Thank you. Well, let's go to the Word of God. We're going to go back to 2 Peter, and we're going to pick it up there this morning. And as you're turning, I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer one more time. And We're going to just ask the Lord to help us this morning. Lord, we just thank you, God. Thank you for your people that are here this morning. I pray, Jesus, that you minister to our hearts and our spirits. Those that have made it here physically, God, we've already been blessed. This worship this morning, it's just such a joy to worship you. We sense your presence. Lord, you move through our hearts. You're the air we breathe, the breath that we breathe, God, your spirit, Lord. And we just sense you in this place today, and we've enjoyed this time of worship. And I pray, God, as we go into your word, that you would just open up the words of life to us. We need you, Lord. We need you to speak this morning, oh God. Touch hearts today. Inspire us with who you are. You're so amazing, God. When we behold you and your glory and we catch that glimpse of who you are and the vastness of who you are, we're just blown away. And we ask, God, that you just open up your word and give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Open up our hearts, Lord. We pray that you would help us block out distractions this morning and that we would come with hungry hearts to the table and just partake of your word. I took a little break and we did the Thanksgiving sermon. How many enjoyed that Thanksgiving message last week? It was so good. That one leper that made the choice to go back and thank Jesus, you know. I just love that heart that he had. And we want to always carry on with that heart of Thanksgiving, don't we? I'm so thankful for what God has done in my life. How about you? Aren't you grateful for what he's done in your life? I'm talking about even those times when you weren't doing the things you should do, but he was still there. Amen? He still pursues after us. I'm so glad he's like that. But we're going to kind of go back to what we've been talking about in Acts 2:42, and we're using that as sort of our baseline verse. I'm not going to even go back and read that, but the early church, you know, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And so we're kind of looking at that characteristic that we want to see prevalent because it was prevalent in the early church. They continued steadfast in the disciples' doctrine. You know, why is it? Why is it that we study the Bible, the Word of God? How many believe this is the infallible Word of God? I mean, it's there are no errors. God, this is God's word. That means that's how he speaks to us, is through his written word today. And we measure everything that we perceive as truth. We measure it by this. This is how we determine if something is truth or if it's not. And I'm so glad that God gave us this because Jesus, he gave us so much warning about be not deceived. And there is so much deception and confusion in the world today. Do you see that? I mean, people are confused over things. I'm so shocked that they're confused over. But they're confused over things. And there's confusion as to, you know, so many things. I'm not even going to get into all the things that people are confused about. But one thing they're really confused about is who God is. Who is this God? Who is God? What is God? Is there a God? There's a lot of confusion. There are a lot of different ideas. And Jesus said that would be that way. He said there'd be great delusion that would come upon the earth in the last times. And I think we see that today. People are deceived in so many ways. And so how do we determine truth? Well, you know, based on the Word of God, it is self-proclaiming that it is the Word of truth. It is the point of reference to absolute truth. If there is a God, if the God of the Bible is God, He's telling us this is his word, and he's telling us that by studying his word, we can know who he is and what is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So God is truth. He is truth. He's absolute truth. So when he speaks, his word is truth. The Bible says that God cannot lie. He cannot lie. He is absolute truth. Isn't that good news? Because there's so much stuff and being said, so much information always coming at you. How do you discern what's right and what's wrong? Well, that's why I love the Bible. That's why I love who God is. And, you know, when we study the Bible and when you lean into it in full faith and you're like, okay, I believe it completely. I take this and I believe it completely. And I accept God at His word. And there's an element of faith to that, isn't there? It's not a blind faith, by the way. It's a very reasonable faith. You know, our men have been doing a little circle-up group. We've been going through some apologetic stuff. There's a book called The Problem of God, and we've been working our way through that with all of the criticisms. It's just, you know, honestly, when you really intellectually take a look at it, it's very reasonable to believe in God. God, the evidence of who God is in the creation that we live in. Romans chapter 1 tells us that you can look around and see there is order, there's life, there's... It points to a creator. It points to a master designer, the one that put it all in place. It makes sense without going too crazy deep into that. It really does. It really does. It makes sense. There has to be something behind life. And it's God. And the Word of God, if God is who He is, He speaks through His Word. And so we study the Bible, and in studying the Bible, He reveals who He is. And He tells us who we are. And He tells us why we're here. And He tells us His ultimate plan. It's quite amazing when you consider the Bible that it's an amazing, amazing book in this sense. It tells you where you came from. And it tells you what life is right now in your existence. And it tells you where the end of all things will be. It gives you the plan. That's why Jesus says, I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. It's everything. He has given us the beginning and the ending of history through His Word. So if you want to know what life is about, you read the Word of God. You read the Word of God. In fact, I wasn't planning on reading this, but where's that verse in the first chapter of 2 Peter? He says, His Word gives us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Everything that pertains to life and godliness. And that's what we have. It's, you want the answers to life? It's in the Word of God. What is it? Verse 5. All right, thank you. The way my Bible is, the numbers, it's hard to catch all this. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness. Okay. Anyway, it's the answers to all things. God's Word. It really does. It gives us the beginning to the end. And that's really amazing, isn't it? So, I want us to look here, I'm going to go back to verse 19 in 1 Peter. We're going to pick it up. I've already preached through all this stuff previously. And we're going to, I just want to catch something here in verse 19. It says, and so we have the prophetic word. In the old King James, it says a more sure word of testimony. Right? Anybody that's reading that old King James? We have the prophetic word, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place. We have this prophetic word. He says, you'll do well to heed. In other words, pay attention to the prophetic word. Pay attention to what God's word is in terms of prophecy, because He gives us prophetic things in the Old Testament. And he says, it's as a light that shines in a dark place. Boy, is this a dark place we're in today? So, it's this prophetic words like a light that shines into a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. And what he means by that is this, simply this. Listen, you don't get to come up with your own, you know, revelation of who God is and what God is. It's all been in the Word of God already. Okay? You don't get to like, oh, I've got a new revelation. And that's the danger that we live in today when people want to, you know, claim like, hey, I have the gift of prophecy. I'm not saying that the gifts of prophecy don't work, but not like this. That's what Peter's saying. Be careful. The Word of God is the Word of God. Do we get that? God has given us this established word so that we can know for sure this is from God. And so We really don't need somebody to have a new revelation to reveal something new about God. It's all right here. Does that make sense? And that's how, you know, you get your David Koresh starter kit when you try to take on your own private interpretation and new revelation. Does that make sense? You get yourself way out in a tangent when you do that. Because you've left now. It's undermining to the Word of God when you say, I have something new. I have something unique that God's shown me right now. And He doesn't need to do that. That's saying, I don't need the Word of God. God hasn't done everything that He's needed to do in the Word. He needs me here right now. How many know that reeks of an ego trip to me? That reeks of somebody's wanting to be unique and gain some kind of significance in the world we live in. I need to get out of the way and I need to reveal the Word of God. And I love that Peter put this in here. So don't follow men saying that they have some new revelation or they have a private interpretation that nobody else gets from the Word of God. The Word of God speaks to you and I directly to our human hearts. It is God's direct voice into our lives. Amen? So I don't need to follow a man now. I'm so glad God moved man out of the way and gave me His Word. So that now I can just go to His Word. I can pray. You know, Jesus, I love it when He died on the cross. You guys remember what happened? An earthquake happened. And what happened in the temple? The veil. The veil separating the Holy of Holies, which was, symbolizing the holiness of God. That foot fabric of layers and layers of fabric, the foot thing, shreds in two. And it symbolizes that we now have access to the Holies of Holies through the death of Jesus Christ. That's why that happened when Jesus died. Wasn't that powerful? So that we can now pray directly. And now our prayers, we get to access Him directly through prayer. And we how many love the communion that you have with the Lord when you get to pray, just talk to Him. But then on top of that, you get to hear Him speak to you through His Word. And you, even the things that you feel and you get impressed, that's why Peter, what he's saying, he's like, listen, I was there. I beheld Him on the mountain, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. In other words, I sensed Him. I saw Him with my eyes, physical sense. I heard the voice of God saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. The senses of the ear, hearing. But I have something more sure than that. I don't trust my senses as much as I trust the prophetic Word of God. So even the things that I feel like God's speaking to my heart, I get to check it all out to the Word of God. Does that make sense? How do I make sure that what I'm feeling or sensing from God in my life is from God? I study His Word. And I study the prophecies in particular. And that's what Peter's speaking to here. So let me try to go back and read this again. He said, I'll read in verse 19 again. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed. And I just alluded to the previous verses where he was talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. And he was one of the ones that was there and beheld Jesus himself. And he's like, that was a powerful experience. I had this epiphany, if you will, where I saw Jesus. You know, that must have been something for Peter because he was one of the few that got to see Jesus, not just in His incarnate bodily form. He got to see Him transfigured. That's why it's called the Mount of Transfiguration. He got to see Him in His glory, a glimpse of His glorified state. What He's like outside of the human body. And God just let the glory shine through for a minute there. And so that Peter could write about this right here. And say, I saw that, I witnessed that, but you know what is the most solid thing? Over all of my senses and my experience and my spiritual epiphany that I had is the word of prophecy. Okay? He said that that's what I can really, really know truth by. Really, it's stronger than my own experiences, is what he's saying there. Knowing this, that no prophecy of scriptures is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of men. He's like, the prophecy wasn't about men. And we know it wasn't about men. Why? Because people prophesied and then things were fulfilled. Only God can do that. Okay? So this prophecy didn't come in the will of men, but it says holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It means that all scripture is God breathed. What Peter's saying here is this Bible right here, it's God breathed. It's God inspired. It's been inspired. The Old Testament was inspired by God. Holy men of old spoke as they were moved on by the Holy Spirit. And the same way that it worked then is how it worked in the New Testament with the apostles. Right? So we really are so blessed to be able to continue steadfastly and always growing in the faith by continuing in this steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. This is the apostles' doctrine. What we're reading is the apostles' doctrine. Learning and understanding the prophecies. And this really is such a great segue to move into the Christmas season. And we're going to go there. I want to just again, and I referenced this last week, but let's go to Revelation 19 real quick. Or 2 weeks ago, I referenced this when we were speaking. Revelation 19. Says, then he said to me, I'm in verse 9, write, blessed, and this is the John the Revelator speaking, the angel speaking to him. He said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. He said to me, see that you do not do that. As I mentioned before, we don't worship angels. The angel's warning him. Don't worship me. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Okay, it's important that we grasp what he's saying here. The angel, it's really, again, it's reiterating what Peter was saying. It's like, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. Okay? The testimony of Jesus is spirit of prophecy, the spirit of prophecy. In other words, you could say it like this. The spirit of prophecy testifies as to who Jesus is. It's testifying. So when we go, and what are we talking about? The spirit of prophecy. It's about the foretellings that are given in the scripture. Isn't that what prophecy is? Actually, the word prophecy, literally, if you want to say, if you really want a clear and concise definition, it's whenever somebody is speaking as the voice of God. The voice of God speaking through someone. And it isn't always about future tense, by the way. It could be, the prophets used to speak under the inspiration of God as the voice of God, just to dealing with things, idolatry, different things that were going on in contemporary times. It wasn't, we always think of prophecy absolutely as futuristic. And it's not limited to just that. Although when God speaks, and when he spoke through the prophets, he often is telling about things that are going to happen in the future, right? And so if you grasp what the angel speaking to John here, he's saying, listen, if you go back and you study the prophecies, this is why we cannot leave the Old Testament. It's so silly. I know there's a movement right now, progressive Christianity, to separate ourselves from the Old Testament and to just, you do that, you don't even understand who God is. So you can't, you're like taking away the spirit of prophecy if you do that. The Old Testament, we're going to read some of these prophecies here next. The Old Testament is full of prophets, right? And in the prophecies, there are things that are told about things that are to come. I mean, you see the first one is in Genesis chapter 3 when God deals with the fall of Adam and Eve. And right away, God comes down. He's walking He comes to walk with Adam, commune with Adam and Eve as he has always, and they're hiding, right? They're hiding. They've sinned. They've rebelled against God. They're ashamed. They're hiding themselves, and they've sewed fig leaves together to cover their nakedness. They, you know, that's one thing that's so interesting about sin. It causes us to feel naked and ashamed. That's what sin does. And so God comes in there. He's like, "Where are you?" He calls out to Adam. "Where are you, Adam?" And I always love to point out right there, God didn't ask where Adam was because he couldn't find him. It wasn't a game of hide and seek. The question's posed by God there because God wants Adam to think about where he is. You know, think about that. And that's what God does. He's so good to us, the way that he deals with us. When we sin, when we rebel against God, when we fall away from God in our sin, God doesn't, he's not there to just, he's like, "Look, I want you to comprehend what's happened here, what's transpired. You've done the transgression, and look where it's got you, right? Where are you, Adam? Where are you? You're hiding." God knew where he was. Didn't he know where he was? Absolutely. He's all-knowing. He knew exactly where he was. So I have to deduct from that the question wasn't for Adam. I mean, for God, it was for Adam. It was for him to consider, where am I? Where am I? My God, I'm hiding from God. I'm hiding from God. I'm running from God, the one that created me, the one that set me in paradise, the one that sustains me, has given me life. I'm hiding from him. That's what sin does. That's the picture we get there, isn't it? And God loves us to take on self-reflection. Why? Because he wants us to own our sin. And, of course, he begins to question Adam and Eve, and he's like, "Adam, what have you done? Who told you you were naked?" He said, "Where are you?" And Adam's answer was, "Lord, I was naked, so I was ashamed." He said, "Who told you you were naked?" And he said, "Have you eaten of the tree?" And then he starts the blame game. "Well, that woman that you gave me, she gave me some fruit to eat. And it's all her fault. It's all her fault." That is not how we try to deal with our sin. God's asking a question for him to confront himself. And the first thing in human nature that he wants to do is deflect blame to the woman that God gave him. So indirectly, really, he's kind of blaming God there, isn't he? He's kind of blaming him. He's like, "She gave me this fruit." And of course, then the chain reaction happens, and she's like, "Well, God, the serpent." She blames the serpent. "The devil made me do it," kind of thing. "The devil made me do it." And God pronounces a prophecy. How many know God was the first one to give a word of prophecy in the Bible? And it was there in Genesis 3. He says, "Listen, the serpent," he said, "there will be a seed that comes from the woman. A seed that will come forth. And the serpent will bruise the heel of the seed of the woman, but he shall crush the serpent's head." That's powerful, huh? That was the first messianic prophecy. Okay? So there was a prophecy given of one that would come. And that was the first one. So as you saw that prophecy given, and then you continue to flow through the scripture, there are scores and scores and scores of prophecies that are talking about the Messiah that is to come. And we're going to touch some of them here in just a second. But there are so many. I mean, there's no way I could cover them all. I'm just going to grab a few because this is sort of our connection point. This just worked out the way that God flowed this. We're going into the Christmas season. And we're going to celebrate the Lord's birth. Isn't that how many know the reason for the season? What's his name? Jesus. He's the reason for the season. How many love celebrating Saint Nick? You guys, I'm loving that. You know, and our culture, American culture, we come up with this bizarre, legendary thing about Santa Claus and blah, 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 blah. And it sort of overshadows, and, you know, it's all whatever. I guess it's fun for kids, and I'm not trying to pick on it too much, but I'm just trying to say, why do we celebrate Christmas? Jesus, the birth of Christ. And so, in this, I want it to be more than just a season where we kind of are just all warm and fuzzy and nostalgic about celebrating the infant in the nativity. And I want us to grasp something deeper this Christmas. And that is that God foretold of himself stepping into mankind on behalf of our redemption. Because we fell away. Everyone, guess what? You know what our biggest need is in this world? You know what your biggest problem is? You were born in sin. You were all lost without him. We're lost. We are lost without Jesus. We go into our lives every day and we just live life and we don't even think about it so often. But the reality is there's something that's working against us in life and we're lost. The only thing that can help us, the only thing that can is him. And so you have this foretelling that he's going to come back and he's going to invade the earth at some point. And so let's look at some of these other verses that I have here, because we start looking at the more sure word of a prophecy. And I'm just going to grab a couple. There's one in Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. I love Isaiah, and we're going to go deeper into Isaiah at some point. I know there's been some studies going on. Sharon's taught a little bit on Isaiah, and I love that book. We'll get there more. But Isaiah chapter 7, in verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isn't that awesome? Isaiah is telling this, and there's a lot going on here in Isaiah. You know, there's the northern and southern kingdom, and the northern kingdom of Israel is allying with the Syrian king, and they're going to go down and take over Judah, and then all this is happening. But God throws this thing out there, this prophetic word, in the middle of all this drama that's happening. And he says, again, what verse was that? Verse 14. Let me read it one more time. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Curds and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Wow. Wow. So the virgin will bring forth a son. You have the foretelling of the virgin birth there, don't you? That's one of the foretellings. In fact, let's go to Matthew chapter 1 to look at, let's look at that verse. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. This is the angel speaking to Joseph. So you have a prophecy given. The spirit of prophecy is what? The testimony of Jesus. So he's foretelling, and now it's being fulfilled. Do you realize how powerful that testimony is? That it shows that there is really a God, when some 700 years earlier, Isaiah is giving this prophecy out. And here now, in Mary's day, in Joseph's day, the angel himself is confirming that this is that prophecy being fulfilled. Isn't that cool? That's how God works. He's like, I say and I will do. That's what the way the Lord is. That's what He says. I say and I do. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 9 now. Let's go back to Isaiah again. Another messianic prophecy. In verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Wow. This is so good because he says, a child is born and a son is given. It's like a child is born. It's speaking of the human birth, the Son of Man, if you will. Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man, doesn't he? But he's also a son is given. Whose son is he? Son of God. He's a son of man. He's a son of God. And the prophecy here, God's saying, you know, a child is born, but a son is given. A son is given. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And it's just, I love the way the scripture all ties together. He's like, a son is given and the government will be upon his shoulder. And this really moves us to the millennial reign of Christ. This is, if you understand the totality of scripture, it really starts to click for you. But there's coming a day, you guys, where Jesus will come. He came as a son. But he's going to take the government of the world on. Do you guys realize that? That's the foretelling. We could go into Revelation and we'll go back and we'll look at that as well. Because it's all about the spirit of prophecy testifying of who Jesus is. Okay? I believe we're living in some last days. I really do, you guys. I don't mean to sound sensational, but you look at the world that we're in, and you look at the condition of the world, and if you understand the prophecies that have been given as to what the world would look like, and even the technological condition of the world, the place that it would have to be in when the Lord comes back, we're there, you guys. We're there. But we have a promise, a blessed hope, the Bible says, that he'll come back because we're not appointed under wrath, the scripture says. And you know, the world is headed for a time of tribulation, 7 years of tribulation. You guys know about that. The 70th week of Daniel's vision. There's 69 weeks have been fulfilled. We're in the church era right now. And then the church age is going to end. And there's one more final week of 7 years of tribulation that is this world's destined for. And it's 7 years of absolute hell. The good news, everything I can see in scriptures, we're raptured right before that happens. And I'm so glad. I'm a pre-trib guy. We're raptured. We are celebrating 7 years with our Lord while 7 years of hell is raining down on this world. And God uses that time to turn Israel back to himself. He's also bringing judgment for the sin of mankind and the rebellion toward God. And how many know this world hates God? You got to see that. You got to see that. The spirit of Antichrist is getting stronger and stronger around us. I mean this spirit that hates anything to do with God. Jesus said it would be like that. He said, if they hate me, they're going to hate you because you're following me. And it's not even them. He said, Paul said, you're not fighting against flesh and blood. It's really against spiritual wickedness in high places, meaning that the enemy has deep influence and that spiritual wickedness is at work here right now. But there's 7 years of trouble coming. First 3.5 years, there's a world leader that's coming. The Antichrist will start to rise. He'll be on his ascension. I believe it'll be probably about the middle of that he has full control, powers given to him. The powers given to him to wear down the saints, it says even. In other words, there will be Christians during the tribulation. There will be some people that somehow come to know who Jesus is. I think there's going to be people left behind that kind of have knowledge of God but aren't walking with God. And they're going to be, oh my God, I know what's going on now. I don't want to be left behind. How about you? I want to go up in the rapture. But after that 7 years, the Lord comes down and he deals with the business. He reunites Israel back to himself. And then he sets up his millennial reign for 1,000 years. And we have so much focus on that 7 years. We talk about the tribulation and we focus on that. But listen, there's 1,000 years where he will take the government of the world. It says that people from all over the world, he'll set up his kingdom in Jerusalem. He'll set up his throne in Jerusalem. Jesus himself will come back, the Bible says, and he'll establish his throne. And for 1,000 years, he's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. There's going to be absolute peace and harmony. And he will dominate. There'll be no intolerances. You will operate within the beauty of his reign. And he is there's peace. It's a time when we can't even hardly comprehend it. But it says that like the lion will lay down with the lamb. There'll be peace. It'll be a different world. He'll heal the lands, it says. He'll heal, and he'll rule. And people will come to Jerusalem to hear him, to hear his counsel, to hear him speak. That's going to be an interesting time, isn't it? For 1,000 years, that's a lot longer than that 7 years. We talk about that 7 years, but what about that 1,000 years with Jesus ruling and reigning? And you know, the good news of that is that those that are followers of him will be with him and will be his administrators, his ambassadors, to help rule and reign in this world. So we have a lot of destiny. We have a lot to look forward to. See, these are prophecies that are given. And they're given for us to have understanding of what God's plan is, because we are so finite. You know what we do? We get so hung up in our little world and our little life. And we think of the world, and our worldview becomes so limited within our bubble of life that we fail to grasp what God has given us. He has given us his full plan from A to Z. He's laid it out for us. It's there for us to know. We can know it. But you got to apply yourself. You got to go continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. You got to know. You got to study the prophets. You got to know the word of God to know God's plan. It's knowable. But we fall into this little routine of life, and we have our game plan, and we set our goals in life, and we like, I want to live, and I want to do what I want to do, and I want to build my little kingdom, and I have my little plan. Man, the deeper I get into the things of God, the less I care about my plan. I just want to like flow with you, God. Okay, how can I fit into what your plan is? How can I fit into your long-term plan? Because my plan, the Bible says that life is like a blade of grass. It's like it springs up and it's there, and then the sun comes up and the heat of the day, and it withers it down and it's gone. And life is short. That's what it's saying. Your life is short. But I can serve and participate with an eternal God. I get to engage with an eternal God who has a plan. He has an eternal plan. That 1,000 years is just one little small glimpse of what Jesus has in store for those that follow him. Because he says his government will have no end. It's eternal. It'll go on forever. You know, the good news is you got this life right here, you guys. You get this life. It's a gift. And I just challenge you to step out of a limited perspective and step into an eternal perspective. Try to grasp things from God's perspective eternally. And stop just being so self-absorbed in what's happening in your own little world. And look at things. God, what are you doing? Ask those deeper questions. God, what are you doing in the world today? What's going on in the world today? We know something's going on. It's so easy to put our head in the sand because we're so afraid. We're afraid of what we see happening in the world. You know, I mean, there's no hope in this world. Jesus tells you, don't put your hope in this world. Don't put your hope in this world. You know, I wish I could give you guys this health, wealth, and prosperity message, but that's not what we read. That happens. Our hope, we have a blessed hope that's eternal with the Lord. Amen? So when we begin to look at that, it changes how you live life. It changes your perspective. It moves you from just being so self-absorbed and just kind of like, okay, I just need my little nest egg. I need my little security. I need my little bubble. I just want to stay in my safe little bubble and pretend everything's good in the world and everything's okay. And oh, I'm so sorry for the people in Ukraine, but let me move on. And I don't want to think about that too much because it's really depressing and it just brings me down. And I can't, you know, I challenge you when you get spiritually minded and you start to look through the eyes of God and you know that God has a plan. It's empowering because now you move from that fear place to a place of hope that is strong and solid with the one who's created everything. And now I'm not afraid. My hope isn't in this government. My hope isn't in the things of this world. My hope is in the one who came. And yes, he was born like a little baby, as a baby, as a child, but he grew up and he taught us the things that he taught us. And he taught us that through his own sacrifice, I could have relationship with my God again, like Adam and Eve had back in the garden. Isn't that good? How many love him? Do you love him? And I love having relationship with him. And I love knowing him. And I love being able to put my trust in him. And I have someone and something that's so much bigger to put trust in than all of the hopelessness that's in the world today. We live in a very hopeless world. It's hopeless. I mean, I don't know what people are trying to accomplish anymore, you know? Are we going for this nirvana in the world? Is that what they're shooting for, you know? We're going to try to find create a utopia where everything's good and it just seems to be getting worse and worse and worse. Of course, we know as we study the Bible, the revelation of the end times, that things aren't going to get better. That's why you have to put your hope in him. Aren't you glad that you know him? Aren't you glad that he's revealed us? He's given us the word of prophecy that testifies to who Jesus is. It tells us that he really is God. That's the point of that whole thing, is that when he foretells something, and there's some other prophecies. I'm going to not go into those today because for time's sake. But when he foretells, one of them is, he says that this Messiah would come by way of Bethlehem. Jesus is born in Bethlehem. Other things like that. And it just, he's like, I want you to know, if I told you that, and then it happened exactly the way it happened, only God can do that. And that's how you know I'm God. That's what that whole thing is about. The spirit of prophecy is testifying to who Jesus is. And that when he says, listen, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You can't come to God the Father. You can't get to God any other way. There's one, was it Peter that said, there's only one name under heaven whereby man might be saved. And his name is Jesus. You know, people think that's so narrow. But listen, if there's one God and God sent his one son and he's the way, isn't it the most compassionate thing to let us know he is the way? He is the way, that he is the way for you to get out of this crazy mess. He's the way to really connect to the real living God, the one that's created everything that is. I'm so glad he's revealed himself. I'm so glad he loves us enough to let you know. It is God's blessing to you right now to be sitting here and listening to his word. He's revealed himself because he loves you. He's revealed himself. And that's how God works. He loves us so much. He keeps trying to reveal himself to each and every one of us, even in unique individual ways. He tries to reveal himself. He's working to reveal himself. But the Bible says, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. You got to tune in. You got to, Lord, I want to hear what you have to say. I want to know what you want me to be. I want to know your plan in my life. I don't want to just run my own show. Because I found out, I don't know about you, but I found out, man, it always comes up short. Everything, you know what? How many have had life goals? Like, I mean, you start out as a young person, and I've got goals. You know what I've come to find out? I'm closing in on 60, man. I can't believe it. I cannot believe how fast my life is going by. Because like when 60, you're done. I mean, it's over at that point. I'm just kidding. I can't believe it, though. I'm serious. I just seemed like I just graduated. I was playing basketball with my buddies. And, you know, we just graduated high school. It's like, man, here we are. I'm closing in on 60. No way. My dad's gone. My mom's gone. My grandparents are all gone. I was like, my brother and I were talking. He's like, it's just us now, Kimball. It's just us siblings, man. We just got each other. That's it. I'm like, I know. I can't believe how fast this thing went. And now I'm looking at my kids and my oldest daughter's going to have a baby. I'm so excited. It goes so fast, doesn't it? But God gives us life. He gives us this life opportunity to live. And, you know, my cry to you is just listen to God. Have an ear to hear. Have an ear to hear what God's trying to speak to your life. He wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to have a relationship with you. You know, he's doing everything he can do. I think God moves in some really small ways sometimes to get our attention. Individually, I'm talking about. I mean, silly things like when you lose your keys and you can't find them and you say that little prayer, God, can you help me find them? And he helps you find them. You know? Or maybe you're driving down the road sometimes and you're just thinking about something and it's just weighing your spirit down and a song comes on and it speaks to your heart. And that's the Spirit of the living God saying, I'm here. I'm real. There was a time in my life where I had kind of fell away from the Lord. And it was in my later teen. I just graduated high school and I knew I had calling in my life and I knew that, you know, what God had called me to do. But I got into this relationship, and I remember it was just pulling me in a bad way, and, you know, it was just stuff going on in my life, young guy. And I remember driving home really late one night to my house, and I was questioning myself, and I was in California. I lived up on the NorCal coast, and I was driving down the coastline, and it was like 3 a.m, and I was feeling so lost and empty because I knew I was not walking with God. You know what I mean? I was driving. I was like, God, are you still there? I feel so far. And I felt like I was in this pit and I couldn't get out. And I wanted out, but I just felt trapped in this thing. And have you ever felt that? I was like, I just want out, but I can't seem to get out. God, are you there? I need you to get me out. And I was kind of just talking to myself and praying, I guess, you know. And I'm cruising down in my 1972 Duster, going about 70, way too fast, John, way too fast, on a coastal road. And there was a straightaway, and so I just opened it up, and I wanted to get home, and I'm cruising. And I just had this sensation of, I just know it was the Holy Spirit, but this sensation and this impression in my spirit, the best way I can explain it, slow down now. And so I just hit my brakes and I slowed way down. And this big buck jumped right out in front of me. And had I not slowed down, I would have just, I would have been bad. And then trotted on. And then I heard the voice of the Lord in my spirit. See, I'm right here. I was like, wow, God. You really do love me that much. And that you're showing yourself to me. And I made a determination. I'm like, okay, God, I'm going to get out of this area. I knew what God was speaking to me at that point is you've got to get out of this area if you're going to get your life to where it's supposed to be. Sometimes you have to make a geographical change. Amen? Sometimes not. But I just knew that's what God was calling me to do, and I did. And that was the beginning of a turnaround in my life and a recommitment. And I mean, I could go on and on with my testimony. I don't want to bore you guys too much with it, but I ended up in a church in Sacramento, California. My parents kind of set me up. They're like, meet us at this church. I moved away from the coast. I moved, and they were coming into town. They said, we're going to meet with your grandparents, meet at their church. And I walk into this church. I hadn't been going to church, really, but I walked in, and man, this preacher was on fire, and he was firing it up. And everything he was saying was like straight to me. And I was like, okay, God, obviously you set me up here. And I'm like, I'm ready. I'm ready to just surrender to you. And that morning he gave an altar call. He said, if you're ready to give everything to God and you mean business, then I want you to come to the altar. And I couldn't wait to get to the altar at that point. In fact, that morning, the altar flooded. And I said, God, here I am. I know you have calling in my life. I know I've been running and fooling around. And I'm done. I'm tired. And I'm done. And I just want to give my whole heart to you. And I just surrender. And just take, and I make a promise. I'm not going to give up. That's the promise. I'm going to purpose it in my heart. I won't give up. Because I know struggle will come. I know hard times will come. But I'll hold on. And that's what I've had to do through many a hardship along the years. But I haven't turned away and walked back into the world by God's grace. Amen? I'm not saying I haven't had to repent. I'm saying I haven't walked back. And I'm here today because He's carried me. He's carried me through. He's carried me through so many times. But, you know, we gotta tune into Him. And we gotta respond to Him. Who He is. I kind of just went all over the place today with this message, but I hope something's been said that's blessed your heart and touched your heart. Look, it's 12:01 and I'm ready to pray the prayer. You guys are proud of me, aren't you? You're so proud of me. Pastor, you did good this morning. You got us out of here by, well, not quite noon, but close enough. We'll take it. Listen, let's all bow our heads and close your eyes. I'm just gonna pray a prayer with you, but I want you as individuals to just respond to God, if you will. I'm not one to pressure you, but I mean, I'm going to give an opportunity. If you're like, man, I just want God to have His way in my life. I want to surrender everything to Him today. With, you know, everybody's head bowed and eyes closed. Okay, we'll say a prayer for her as well when we close here. But if you want to make that prayer of commitment and surrender this morning, just lift your hand. And again, I'm not one to embarrass anybody, but just like, Lord, I want full surrender. Yes. Yes. Is there anybody? Any other hands? I see those. Thank you. Thank you. Listen, maybe you're a believer already, but you just want to say, God, I want to just make a proclamation right now that I'm all in. I'm all in. Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Yes. Yes. It's beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you, God, for speaking to hearts this morning. Your word is always so good. We see that you give a word of prophecy and you fulfill it. And it's happened over and over and over again through the course of history. And we see it in your word that it's happened that way. And we want to be people that are recognizing who you are, God. Recognizing that your plan is so much bigger than our plan. And that we want to engage in you and we want you to engage in us. And let us step outside of ourselves and just be the Lord of our life, God. Lord, we surrender everything to you. We dream in this world. Without you engaging us and living in us and your spirit flowing through our lives, God, we're just pursuing empty dreams in this world. And it's so empty. And I'm done with that. I want meaning. And I thank you for the meaning that I have found in you, God. And I pray that I can share that with everybody that's within earshot of this voice right now, God. Let them experience the meaning of relationship with you. It's so good. I have such peace in my heart, Lord. I pray that peace, your word, we read this morning, you're the Prince of Peace. You bring peace into the storm of our life. Our lives can become so chaotic at times. But you bring peace into those storms. And you're always there. Even though the difficult times still come, You're there with us as the Prince of Peace. You're in the boat. And you can say, peace be still and calm everything. And you bring a peace in the storm. So I pray, God, that you help us find that place of absolute surrender and commitment and dedication to pursuit of you. Help us to just have a hunger for your word. Lord, I thank you for these hearts that are here today. Thank you, God, for revealing yourself the way that you have to us and the way that you continue to do. Lord, let us be people that are hungry for you and that we will just continue steadfastly in your word, steadfastly pursuing a study of who you are, God. Reveal yourself to us, Lord. Show yourself to us. Open up our minds. Give us minds of understanding. We need the wisdom of your spirit, Lord, to understand who you are. Open up our thoughts and our minds to perceive and understand and comprehend who you are, Jesus. You're the only one that can cleanse sin from the human heart. So we confess our sin and we ask you for your blood to be applied to every heart that is here today. Lord, touch your people, minister to your people, God. Lord, I pray that this Christmas season is a season of understanding, Lord, and just celebrating you, Lord. But deep understanding, deep comprehension. Let us grow deeper in relationship, Lord. Let us experience you deeply this year. And as we get ready to close out this calendar year, God, let it be a time that is spirit-led in our lives and in our church, God. So we thank you. We want to give you all the praise for everything that we see you doing here in this church and what I see you doing in some of the individual lives in this church, God. I just give you praise. I pray for everyone that is here, Lord. I pray, God, that you continue to bless these people by showing them that you're real, God. Intervene in the needs in their lives, Lord. God, we want to pray for Barbara this morning, Mike's mother. And we pray, God, that you're there and there's some really challenging circumstances there. And we need you to intervene. We need you, God, to touch her body. Lord, there's cancer involved. And we know that you're able to heal, Lord. But I just pray that let her heart be encouraged, God. Help her to get through this. I pray for healing, Lord, if it can be found in your grace, Lord, to heal her body, Lord. We just lift her up to you today. We lift up her family, God. Touch the whole family, Lord. And you somehow use times like this to bring people closer to you. So I pray that you would work according to your will and your wisdom. And we lift her up. Well, Lord, we pray, God, that you would touch everyone that's been sick in our midst. So many of us have been suffering, but we just look to you. We thank you for the healing that you've already accomplished. Lord, I thank you. I'm feeling so much better. But I pray for all the rest that are maybe not there yet. And I pray that you just bring swift healing and recovery. We just worship you and we praise you for who you are today. Bless these people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, God bless you guys. Again, greet one another on your way out.